This episode of Healthcare Happy Hour is brought to you by Zizzle Health, a cutting-edge ICHRA solution designed specifically for benefits consultants. From quoting and compliance to selling and service, Zizzle Health makes it easy to offer a group-like experience with the flexibility of an individual coverage HRA. Help your mid-sized and large clients stabilize their health plans with Zizzle Health by your side. To learn more, stay tuned.
Welcome, and thank you for joining us for Healthcare Happy Hour, the official podcast of the National Association of Benefits and Insurance Professionals.
And joining us on this episode of Healthcare Happy Hour is Ray Seaver, who is CEO at Zizzle. Hey, Ray, thanks for joining us.
Hi, David. Thanks for having me today.
It's our pleasure. Let's start really at ground zero and kind of level set. And I'd like to ask you if you can kind of sketch out in plain language for those folks who may not know what an ICHRA is, and let's start with the employer's side, and then we can move to the employee's side.
Yeah, so an ICHRA from an employer perspective is an alternative way to offer group health insurance benefits to their people that's based really upon creating a budget that works for that employer, helping to offer choice to employees. So the big benefit from an employer perspective is employees like this choice. And when that choice is available, employees use it and employees are happier with their selection. So it deviates from a traditional group plan offering in a way that is positive from both the employee satisfaction perspective and from the ability for an employer to manage their budget.
That's a great beginning explanation. Let's talk a little bit about the key pain points that ICHRAs solve. What problems do they address?
I think the key pain points are the affordability of health insurance and jumping into an environment where there has historically been more stability in the premium increases one year to the next. It's not always that case. This year we're seeing increases that are larger than normal. We can talk about that a little later, but historically they have been in the single digit arena. And so that's been a real attractiveness to employers with the ability to really kind of look ahead and see you not have to worry about massive increases from one year to the next.
So I'm an employee and my employer offers this arrangement. Do I just get a lump sum of money and a pat on the caboose and I'm told go shop in the marketplace and find what you like?
No, that is not the case. You do get a sum of money the employee does receive a sum of money that they can spend on a plan that works best for them, but they aren't just turned loose in the marketplace. With ICHRA platforms that are available in the market today, they are put together to help people receive guidance through the process and picking a plan that works best for them, whether it's decision support tools. So in our solution, for example, there's many different ways that they can filter plans down to a set of plans that works for them, whether that's their providers in the network, whether that is based upon what they expect their usage of the plan to be and what that will cost them out of their pocket, whether their prescription drugs are covered. So there's different ways that they can make sure whether just one item or all of those together to help them zero in on the right plan. They also have the ability to talk to a licensed agent to help guide them through as well. So it's both the technology guidance and there is human guidance as well involved in the process that can help people get to the right plan. So they aren't left to their own devices to figure that out.
But unlike a traditional group insurance plan, the employer doesn't decide we're offering plan A, plan B, and plan C. So they have a broader selection of plans?
They do. And again, I'll emphasize that employees, once they jump into this style of health insurance, they like it because they can choose the insurance company and the specific plan that works for them. So there might be dozens of plans choices available to them. And that's why having that, both the ability with the technology to guide them and having a licensed agent be able to help them is important that first time through. But what we find is once they go through that process the first time, that second time through, it becomes much easier for them to zero in on the plan they want. They're used to what they have, and it really is a satisfying experience for them.
You know, we get this survey from Kaiser every couple of years about healthcare literacy. And unfortunately, It hasn't really improved much over the last 10, 12, 15 years. Does the decision support tool that you guys offer help kind of demystify some of the jargon and questions that people normally have when they're going to a group plan? How does that work?
Yeah, it certainly does. So it's a combination of that and then just video guidance throughout the process that will help them. FAQs, the ability to leverage AI within the tool as well to help them understand what the jargon is and how it works. So there is multiple ways that can happen. And again, I always emphasize that some people like to use the technology to help them get that education. Other people like to pick up the phone and call a licensed agent and so they can get that in both formats, and also from a chat perspective. So the other feature is chat as well. So a lot of people like to, rather than picking up a phone, they would rather chat with an agent. So having all those things available is very important for that employee user as they're going through the process.
I'm just curious, in your experience, do folks usually try to winnow down which plans make sense for them and then talk to an agent, or do they just go directly to an agent when that's offered?
I think it's all of the above.
Okay.
I think it's all of the above. Some people, you know, want give it a try, and they want to see, you know, the list for themselves before they call in. I think, you know, the role of the consultant and agent in this environment can be very important as well. So that pre-education, so people, employees know what to expect before they go in, and maybe having a pre-look at what's available before they go in there can be extremely helpful. So that upfront education that employers typically provide in an annual benefits meeting prior to open enrollment, that is still an important piece of this puzzle, giving, especially if they are coming into this solution for the very first time, and helping employees understand how it's different from a traditional offering and how they will have the ability to choose what they want and what that really means for them. So having the consultant involved in crafting the communication and delivering that communication becomes very important.
So other than that first year where they're kind of getting a learner's permit and they're learning how to drive the process, are there any other trade-offs between an ICHRA and a traditional group plan?
Yeah, I think there certainly can be. So the ICHRA plans are modeled after the ACA plans that you can buy on a marketplace. We're seeing more and more kind of innovation in that plan design come out in plans that qualify for the ICHRA favorable tax treatment. We call them off-exchange plans. And many carriers are getting more innovative in their design of those products because they have the freedom to do that inside this particular marketplace. I think that the myth out there is that these are, you know, HMO style plans, small network plans, and you know, people are going to have trouble, you know, finding the provider that works for them. But our response to that is yes, they, and oftentimes they are HMO and EPO style plans. There are some broader network plans available, but even if they're not, the network only has to work for me. It doesn't have to work for everybody in the employer. And that's oftentimes what gets lost in the discussion. The employer isn't picking a plan that has a single network. Employees have the option of carriers and different network styles, and they just have to find their provider in the network. They don't have to find everybody's provider in the network, right? So in my particular situation, there's a certain combination of providers that are important to me when I'm picking my health plan. And that can change from year to year depending upon, because carriers change your network from year to year, right? But I've never been able to not find a solution, an option that has the providers that I want in the network in a particular plan.
So from the employer side, it's valuable because they get to set a budget and then everybody gets X amount of dollars. And so their healthcare costs become more predictable.
Yes, they do become more predictable. So again, and what it does from an employer perspective is as healthcare costs continue to go up and up and up, they aren't the ones that are having to make the decision about, do I reduce benefit this year or do I have employees take more out of their paycheck? It really puts the employee in control of that decision. So the employer really does have the ability to say, okay, what can I afford to offer this year? What is the budget I can afford? And let employees make the choice on what's important to them. And I think that's a very attractive component of the ICHRA solution.
Now, are employers allowed to set distribution amounts by class in an ICHRA?
Yes, they can. So there is classing that can occur. It is there are defined classes that they can use. So, for example, you can provide a different contribution to salaried employees than you can to hourly employees. You can create a different contribution for full-time or part-time. You can also vary your contribution based upon the work site that the employee reports to. In other words, if a company is geographically dispersed, they can vary their contribution based upon what work sites people are reporting into. So there are different ways that can occur.
Because today, you know, a lot of employers have very dispersed or diffused, I guess is a better word, workforces, with a lot of people working from home. And the cost for somebody who's in South Florida is different than the cost for somebody who's in Omaha, Nebraska. So I think that's important. Do you find a lot of employers working through that way?
Yeah, I think that is one of the, you know, top five reasons employers come to an ICHRA is the ability that they can offer plans and network configurations that work for their employees across the board, wherever they are at in the country. So that becomes a very attractive component, yes.
So what's unique to Zizzle that makes it a great solution?
I think unique to Zizzle is our technology, our history in building great technology for benefit solutions. The team that we've put together has decades of experience in doing that. I think the focus on what is really important to that employee and making that initial decision and supporting that employee in making that initial decision, then also supporting the employer through the process. Their role changes a little bit than it does in a traditional plan, helping them understand what their role is in this new style of health plan and giving them the support they need and actually insight into the information that they need to operate their plan. So visibility into the program and seeing the ability to see how premiums are paid and who's paid and who's not, and having insight into those types of situations really make it best for them. So I think it's a combination of high touch technology and high tech service that really sets Zizzle apart.
Can you share some examples of outcomes or metrics, you know, whether it's cost savings, employee satisfaction, retention, that you're seeing from your body of work?
Yeah, I think the examples that I'm seeing is it can really vary across the board. So what I want to talk about related to the savings piece, initially savings was what was really driving kind of the driving employers to look at an ICHRA solution, right? So we used to see it used to take about a 20% savings from their traditional plan to really kind of take it seriously and move in that direction. I think what we're tending to see now is just the whole aspect of employee choice and the employer getting out of the middle of having to determine what carrier and what product that employees use is becoming more and more attractive, and the satisfaction. So we're seeing basically, you know, a net promoter score between traditional plans and between ICHRA plans is really the ICHRA plan net promoter score is being maintained much higher than the net promoter score for traditional plans. And that has held over time, whether premiums are going up and down. So in other words, it's an inelastic. So whether premiums are going up or going down, employees prefer net promoter score, prefer ICHRA plans. And so it's from a savings perspective, I mean, we've seen companies save hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars from a standpoint initially, right? And that oftentimes is what is driving larger employers to the ICHRA space, right? But I think what happens is over time, it's the employee choice that really keeps them there longer term.
Well, and talking about keeping them there longer term, I think maybe the key metric is retention. What do you guys see in terms of retention numbers?
Yeah, I think we'll see what happens this year, Rick, because this is the first year where we're seeing individual plan premiums go up at a fairly significant rate this year. So we'll be interested to see how it shakes out. It's still kind of early in this renewal season to get that. I can tell you that we've seen a very low percentage of companies move from once they move into ICHRA back into the traditional environment again. I suspect we'll see a little more investigating of that. that this year because of the level of rates, but whether people move or not will be, that's yet to be seen. But historically, once an employer has made that switch, they've been very reticent to move back into a traditional group plan environment. And I think it's because employee choice is really working for them from the standpoint of helping them manage their budget and manage the satisfaction of their plan.
Well, consumers have control in pretty much every place in the universe except healthcare, and this is at least a step. It's not ultimate control, but it's a step toward giving the consumers, the end users, some control over what kind of a plan they get, what their experience is going to be, out of pockets that they can manage better than some that they maybe can't. From another perspective, how do HR departments feel about this?
Yeah, I think HR departments, we do a study each year. So we're of both employee benefit consultants, brokers, agents, and HR people, just to kind of get a sense of their attitudes towards that. And we release that in the spring of every year. So I'm looking forward to our results next year. I would say, as you look at employees are the most satisfied stakeholder in this arrangement, which is really interesting, right? Employees tend to be the most satisfied, which we would think that the consultants and HR people would really lean heavily into that. What we're seeing is that HR consultants lean a little bit towards ICHRA, but not as heavily as employees do. I think they're still getting feeling their way into what their role is in this environment. I think there's some level of discomfort of not having the knowledge of every plan out there. They're used to answering questions. Specific questions about what this plan covers and what the deductible is and so forth. And that's not their role in this plan. So I think there's some HR is starting to lean in more to ICHRA, but not as much as employees. And I think part of that is too that benefit consultants are still coming up to speed on leaning into ICHRA as well. So our data suggests that they don't lean into ICHRA as much as HR people do, but there are many that are, and they're more and more moving in that direction. So we expect to see that trend continue. And it's natural, right? As employee benefit consultants, I've been working with consultants my entire career, you develop a deep knowledge base of what's happening in that traditional market. We've been there at that our entire careers, right? So making that change it's good to make sure that ICHRA is the right solution for your client, right? And I think that is a key role for the consultant.
Speaking of the consultants, if you've got a wide range of plans that are being offered, how functionally are advisors compensated?
Yeah, so there's different compensation models out there, right? But I think one of the myths is that employee benefit brokers and consultants can't make as much money on ICHRA. And that's not the case in our model anyway. If that's not the case, the consultant is in absolute control of what they charge their client and what they receive for their consultation services. So it's really up to them to decide that. There are two forms of compensation. There's a consulting fee, and then if you are acting as the agent of record, providing services at the agent of record, there are commissions on these products as well. So some play both roles, some separate those roles, but at the end of the day, the consultant is really in control of how much compensation they make, at least in the Zizzl Health model.
So there's an opportunity for them to add compensation as they would maybe in a self-insured plan as a fixed cost?
Correct. Absolutely.
Interesting.
Absolutely, yes.
Since we're talking about things that touch on the regulatory, what are the regulatory or compliance challenges around ICHRAs? And do they still have ACA problems? Are there IRS rules, COBRA, ERISA, et cetera?
Yeah, it is an ERISA plan. It's a self-funded plan. HRAs are self-funded, so it's subject to all of the requirements that a self-funded plan is responsible for. And that really is regardless of size of the employer, because it's a self-funded plan. So ACA reporting, affordability reporting is required on these plans, no matter the size. So if you're a small employer under 50, you're still required to produce a affordability report. And it's an ERISA plan, so it's subject to those.
That's interesting because, advisors are being asked to do so much more than they used to be asked to do. The ability to chalk a fixed fee in there for a consultancy is maybe a big attraction. Are you having those kinds of conversations a lot with advisors?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, in our environment, you know, we sell exclusively through employee benefit brokers and consultants. We do not sell direct to employers. And so, yes, we're having conversations with consultants constantly on, like, them asking us, where do you think the appropriate level of fee is, consulting fee, where are you seeing that set, right? And to the point of, like, that's a strategy. It can be on a client-by-client basis. It depends on what your relationship is with that client, what they're expecting, what level of service the consultant is providing to that client as well. So those discussions are happening all the time. I think there's a myth out there that I do think consultants, like HR people, have struggled to find what their role is in an ICHRA solution. And it's extremely important. And one of the reasons we sell exclusively through consultants and brokers. They have a very important role. And by the way, when there's the consultant is involved and they're offering an ICHRA solution, they have happier clients as well. So that's what our data suggests anyway. So that role for the consultant, you know, there's a holistic view of the entire benefits program that they have to bring to the table. How does the ICHRA fit into everything else that they're offering? How should it, right? What is my contribution strategy? How do we educate employees and support employees in this environment? So there's so much that gets wrapped into that. And I think many consultants are just starting now to kind of get their footing around that and coming up with some great service models.
You've got just a couple of minutes left. What kind of changes do you foresee in the next 3 years or so relative to ICHRAs and adoptability and all that stuff?
I think we'll see, from an industry perspective, I think we'll see, we call it the groupification of ICHRA, where we're going to see more and more movement towards it feeling even more like a traditional group plan. And what I mean by that might be how insurance carriers are accepting maybe a list bill rather than individual payments, things of that nature. I think you're going to be seeing more and more kind of electronic transaction involved in getting application data over to the carriers. I think you're going to be seeing more of that type of activity. I do think, you know, it's hard to place a bet on this, but I do feel that codification into law will happen sometime in the next couple of years. We'll see where that goes, which it hasn't, not being law, it hasn't slowed the growth down, but I think, you know, it will certainly take some uncertainty away if that is to happen. And I believe that will happen. I also think you're going to see insurance companies develop even more innovative product for those off-exchange plans.
That's interesting and a great place to end our conversation. One last thing. If advisors want to reach out, if they want to learn more, what's the best way to get in touch and to learn more?
Yeah, I think go to zizzlehealth.com and reach out to us on the Contact Us section. I think that's the best way to look at the resources on the site. We have an ICHRA Insights page. Our annual study is there that can be downloaded. We have an employer guide out there that they can download. So I'd encourage them to go to zizzlehealth.com and contact us through that mechanism.
That's zizzl.com, right?
That's zizzl.com, yes.
Because it's the internet, nobody can spell anything correctly. That's part of the alleged charm, right?
Yes, no E on the end of Zizzle, and that'll get you there. Or Zizzle Health will get you there as well.
Awesome.
They'll get you to the same place.
Awesome. Ray Seaver, CEO at Zizzle, thanks for a great and fascinating conversation, Ray.
David, thank you very much.
You can have the Healthcare Happy Hour podcast downloaded automatically by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can also find a link to the podcast in the member-exclusive Washington Update, published on Fridays. For more information on our government affairs efforts or to become a member, visit nabip.org.